When I heard the theme of the conference, From Darkness to Light, my mind immediately jumped to a passage of Scripture. This semester at the seminary, I've been teaching through one of my courses, I've been teaching through the life of Christ. And in that, we've been examining some of the historical background and have been touching on the Pharisees, who they were, and we've been looking at some of the interaction that Jesus had with the Pharisees. And so when Pastor Matt contacted me, asked me to come for the conference and told me that the theme of the conference was From Darkness to Light, my mind immediately went to John chapter 9. So if you have your Bibles, I'd ask you to turn there with me as we examine this passage. I love the book of John. I love the way that John presents the ministry, the person and work of Jesus Christ. And as we read, even in the beginning of John, John chapter 1, in verse 4, speaking of the Word, John says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And then as we jump down to verse 9, we read, "The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And as we look from the very beginning of John's Gospel, he exposes to us this idea of light. And throughout the Gospel, we see this contrast between the light and the darkness. And really, I don't think it's more clear than when we come to John chapter 8 and John chapter 9, where Jesus puts this on display. And in verse 12 of John chapter 8, Jesus says very clearly, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And as we read through the rest of that chapter, this is kind of the context, the backdrop to John chapter 9, where Jesus makes this statement that He is the light of the world. And as we read on through chapter 8, we realize that the Pharisees, they're resisting this. They're resisting this truth. They're resisting this statement. They do not want to accept that Jesus is the light of the world. And at the end of the chapter, we read where Jesus insists on this point, and the Pharisees and the Jews pick up stones to stone Jesus. When He says at the end, "I am." Before Abraham was, "I am." "I am," making that clear statement, linking back to God's words to Moses in the book of Genesis. And so the Pharisees, they pick up the stones to stone Him, and Jesus slips out of their midst. And then, as we turn the page and we read the first verse of chapter 9, "as He passed by." And it gives us the idea that Jesus, He is escaping, He is fleeing the Pharisees who are looking to kill Him, looking to stone Him. And as He passes by, the Bible says, He sees a man born blind. And so His disciples begin to ask Him a question. Whose sin? What is the reason behind this? And oftentimes when we see difficult situations, difficult social situations, we realize that sin has consequences. And when we look around us and we see people who are hurting, we see people who are physically ailing, spiritually ailing, our minds naturally pose these questions. What is the result of this? Whose sin caused this? It's kind of a natural tendency that we have to ask these questions. Whose sin? Who is at fault? Somebody must have done wrong to cause this. But Jesus here in this passage, in these verses from verse 2 to verse 5, He highlights this tension between the light and the darkness. And He tells us that this man's blindness was not a result of his own sin, but was providentially ordained so that the work of God might be manifest in his life. Read this passage with me, if you will. In John chapter 9, we read, "As He passed by, He saw a man blind from birth. And His disciples asked Him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the work of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, Is this not the one who used to sit and beg? Some said, It is he. Others said, No, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the man. So they said to him, Then how were your eyes opened? He answered, The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, Go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, Where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, How can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, What do you say about him since he has opened your eyes? He said, He is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been born blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, We know that this is our son, and we know that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, He is of age. Ask him. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, though, that though I was blind, now I see. And they said to him, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And they reviled him, saying, You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, You were born in sin. And would you teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found them, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He answered, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, Are we also blind? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. As we look at this passage, it is interesting to see how Jesus goes about exposing the blindness, the spiritual blindness. And as we look through this passage, it's interesting to me to see the interplay between the physical blindness and the spiritual blindness. And there are some who cannot see, but yet can see, and others who have perfect sight, but at the same time are completely blind spiritually. And what is interesting to me is how Jesus comes, and as the light of the world, he exposes the darkness. He shines the light into the darkness and exposes the blindness of the Pharisees. And it's interesting because Jesus very clearly, the way that he does this was not simply a something, as we say in French, par hasard, just by chance. Jesus very specifically ordained this interaction to where he could expose the blindness. We see in the first few verses that Jesus mentions that clearly. He said it's not because of a man's sin or his parents' sin, but God has sovereignly ordained this so that his works might be manifested, so that the light might shine into the darkness. And then Jesus goes on to affirm his mission is to bear witness to the light, to bring the light into a dark world. And so he gives this assertion, this affirmation of his mission, and then he goes on through the rest of the chapter from verse 6 all the way down to verse 41 to expose the darkness. And John gives us an excellent description of this. We see that Jesus, when he heals the man who was born blind, he doesn't just say to him, "Receive your sight." Jesus had the power to do that. He could have very clearly, as he did with the man who was a leper, and said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus said, "I will be clean." And the Bible says immediately his leprosy was gone. Jesus could have done this with the man who was born blind. He could have spoken a word and made him receive his sight. And that man would have been healed from his physical blindness. But Jesus' desire was to touch much more than the man's physical blindness. He wanted to heal him and heal others around him of their spiritual blindness as well. And so what Jesus did, the Bible tells us in John, is he healed this man in a very particular way. The Bible says he stoops down, he spits on the ground, he makes mud from the spittle, and he anoints the blind man's eyes. Did you ever wonder why Jesus did that? It's kind of gross, isn't it? I mean, seriously, if you were blind, wouldn't you rather just have Jesus put his hand on your head and say, "Receive your sight," rather than spitting on the ground and making mud and putting it on your eyes and telling you, "Okay, now go wash that off"? Why did Jesus do that? Well, see, the Pharisees, they had created all sorts of laws. They claimed to be so engaged, so clinging to the law of Moses, and we read the verses here where they said, "We are Moses' disciples." And what they had done is they had taken these laws, the Ten Commandments, and they had created around them a barrier of 613 different laws. And one of those, we know that the Ten Commandments, one of them is, remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. The Sabbath is to be set apart to God. So the Pharisees had made all sorts of different rules as to what a person could and couldn't do on a Sabbath day. How many paces they could walk from their home without it being considered as traveling. How much weight they could carry without it being considered as working. And one of the things that the Pharisees, one of the laws that they had created, was that on the Sabbath day, a person was not allowed to spit. He was not allowed to spit on the ground. Because when the saliva left his mouth and touched the ground, and if you come to Cameroon in the dry season, you'll understand exactly why. Because there's about a half inch of dirt, just dust covering the ground. And so if you spit on the ground, the minute that saliva touches it, it joins with the dust and the dirt and makes mud. And the Pharisees said, when someone spits and the saliva joins with the dirt, that's making something. It is an act of creating its work. Now you see what Jesus is doing. Jesus knows this. He knows what their law is. So instead of just saying to the man, "Be healed," he spits on the ground, and he stoops down, and he mixes it, and then he picks it up, and he puts it on the man's eyes. This wasn't simply to heal the man, to heal the man of his physical blindness. This was to expose the spiritual blindness of the Pharisees. Because they claimed to have insight into the law of Moses. They claimed to know everything that there was to know. And we read also in the book of John, later on the Pharisees will say that these people, talking about the multitude, they're under a curse because they do not know the law of Moses. But us, we know. We can see. And Jesus wanted to expose the fact that, no, you're blind. And so he does this. He heals this man in this particular way. He spits, he makes the mud, he puts it on his eyes, and he tells him to go and wash in a particular pool. And that means that the man had to take the journey to that pool, probably surpassing the required prescribed number of steps to go and wash there. And this flies directly into the face of the Pharisees and all the laws that they have created. And so later on, the Pharisees will say, this man cannot be from God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. Or, more accurately, he does not keep our rules concerning the Sabbath. And so here you have these Pharisees who are spiritually blind. They think they can see. They think they know exactly what it is to honor God, to honor the Sabbath. But Jesus comes and exposes to them, no, you are blind. You are spiritually blind. And as we read through this passage, we've already read chapter 9, but I encourage you to reread it and look at the interplay between these men, the man who was healed, and the Pharisees. And to see just how many times, if you have the habit of underlining or highlighting, circling your Bible, mark how many times you see the phrase, we know, or I know, and we don't know. You see this back and forth, between the Pharisees and this man. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we don't know who this man is from. We know that this man is a sinner. And there's this constant interplay of the we know and we don't know. And the man born blind, he was cured of his blindness because he was willing to accept the fact that he was blind. He was willing to accept the fact, like he testified here in the passage, he said, whether this man is a sinner or not, I don't know. I'm not saying I can see. I'm not saying I have this insight, this understanding. All I know is this. I was blind, and now I see. Physically, I had no sight. I've had never had a minute of sight, and now, all of a sudden, I can see. But the Pharisees, on the other hand, they remained blind, spiritually, because they insisted that they could see. And they didn't want to see in the light that Jesus was shining. They wanted to see in their own light. They wanted to stick to their own ideas. And they said, no, we are Moses' disciples. We understand the law. We can see. And therefore Jesus said, no, if you had said you were blind, then you would see. But because you insist that you can see, you remain blind. And there is no worse blind person than the blind person who doesn't want to see. And that is what we see here with the Pharisees. They insisted that they knew, they understood the law of Moses. They insisted they knew what they really didn't know. Whereas the man who was born blind accepted the fact that he did not know. And therefore, he was able to welcome the light into his life. And as we confront the darkness in our world, as we do, as Jesus said here in verse 4, as we work the work of Him who sent us while it is day, we are going to encounter a lot of blind people. Maybe we won't encounter many physically blind people, but we are going to encounter a lot of spiritually blind people. And we must remember several things as we encounter these people. First of all, we must remember that all of them have been born blind. Hold your place here in John, but turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 3 we read, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Everyone in this room, everyone in this world who has not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ is spiritually blind. And we were all born in that state. Paul tells us in Romans that we are born dead. In Ephesians, he says, you are dead in your trespasses and sin. We are blind spiritually. And until the light of God's grace comes and shines in our lives, the Spirit regenerates us, we will never have spiritual sight. And so as we go out to work the works of Him who has sent us, as we go out, as Jesus said in Matthew 5, to be the light of the world, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine. As we go out to do that, we must remember that all the people that are around us who are not being light, they are spiritually blind. And secondly, we must remember, just as in this passage in John, God's goal is that through their blindness, the power and the work of God might be made manifest in their lives. This is exactly what Jesus said with the man who was born blind. Verse 3, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the work of God might be displayed in him. And the blindness for us, the spiritual blindness of those around us, our co-workers, our neighbors, maybe our family members, that is not the major obstacle, because that is the way through which the work of God, the power of God, can be manifest in their lives. And that is why we are here. That is our mission, is to bear the light in the dark world. It is not us that takes people from the kingdom of darkness and puts them into the kingdom of light. That is the work of Jesus Christ. But He does that through us. And in John, He says, I am the light of the world. But in Matthew, He says, you are the light of the world. As we have the light of Jesus in us, that is the light that we go out and we share. And as we read the verses in John chapter 1, we read that verse 4 says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so as we have the life of Jesus Christ inside of us, that light, that life that we receive from Jesus becomes light. And that shines out into the darkness. And so we are shining the life and the light of Jesus Christ into the dark world around us. To these people who have been born spiritually blind, and God's goal in their lives is that His work, His power might be made manifest. Because just as the blind man said here in John 9, never since the beginning of the world has anyone ever heard of someone giving sight to a man who has been born blind. That is impossible, humanly speaking, and it is also impossible, spiritually speaking, for a blind person to receive sight. That is why that is a supernatural work. And it is necessary that there is the power of God working in and through us to shine that light and to expose that. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, again, in verse 5, Paul says, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we must also realize that as we are being this light, as we are shining this light and this life that is in us, there are going to be some who are willing to accept that light, as in John 9, the man who was born blind. There will be some who will be willing to admit their own spiritual blindness and therefore be willing to receive the sight that Jesus can give. But there are others, many others, who will not. Many others who will say, no, I'm good, I can see. I'm okay. I go to church on Sunday. I read my Bible from time to time. I'm a pretty good person, so no, I'm okay. I have spiritual sight. I can understand. And we see this in our context in Cameroon, all the time. Everyone is a Christian, if they're not Muslim. They're Christians. And on Sunday morning, the churches all across town are full. They are full and bursting, and there are churches, it almost looks like Centerville Turnpike. Church after church after church after church after church. And they're cropping up all over, and people are there. And there are some churches where they have Bible studies and they have goings on almost every night of the week, and people are there, and they think they can see. But Jesus says, In John chapter 3, flip over there if you will with me. In his interaction with Nicodemus, we see that there are many people that because they believe that they can see, when we try to shine the true light of Jesus Christ into their lives, they're going to flee. They're going to resist that light. And in John chapter 3, starting in verse 16, we read the verse that is very familiar to many of us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. And this is the tension that we deal with on a daily basis. We have people all around us who claim that they can see, just like the Pharisees claimed in John chapter 9, but yet they're spiritually blind. And when we try to shine the light into their lives, they resist it. They flee. But what does John 1 tell us? John chapter 1, verse 5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it." The darkness cannot resist the light. They may flee from it, they may fight against it, but they will never overcome it. And as Pastor Keith always tells us, we're on the winning team. We are the bearers of the light into a dark world, and sometimes that is going to be a difficult task. Because, as John 3 tells us, people flee from the light because it exposes their evil deeds. And they fight against the light because they do not want their deeds to be exposed. But regardless of whether people flee or people fight against it, they will never overcome the light. And so, my challenge, my encouragement to you this morning is to continue in this ministry. Continue to be the bearers of this light into a dark world. Knowing that people are not going to want to have their evil deeds exposed. People are not going to want to hear that they are blind and that they cannot see. Because they think they're fine. They think they can see. But Jesus says, because you insist that you can see, you remain in your blindness. And so our job is to bear this light to them, to expose that. And we realize that, as Paul said, it is through many tribulations, through many persecutions, that we will enter the kingdom of God. It is not going to be an easy task. But we must, as Jesus said in John chapter 9, I must work the work of Him who sent me while it is day. Because the night is coming when no man can work. There is a night that is coming. There is a time when all our work will be done. So while it is day, let us do the work of Him who has sent us. And may our light shine before men so that they will see our good works and so that they will glorify our Father who is in heaven. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise You because You are the light. And You have delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. You have translated us into the kingdom of Your dear Son, that kingdom of light. And now, Lord, You have tasked us. You have told us to go into all the world to make disciples, to be the light bearers, and to form others to be the light bearers. We thank You for this conference. We thank You for the focus of this conference, from darkness to light. And Lord, as we ourselves have been delivered from the darkness, we pray that You will deliver others and that You will help us to be the bearers of the light, knowing that no matter how men try to resist the light, they will never overcome it, because greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. Lord, we pray We pray for those who may be here today, who may be insisting that they see, but yet they remain in their blindness. May the light of your glorious gospel shine into their hearts. May they recognize that they are blind so that they might receive your sight. And Lord, for those of us who do see, will you give us the courage to bear that light to others? Wherever you have placed us, may we shine as lights for you. For the sake of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.